Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for bringing us again to his presence and to this last session in this series of studies we started a couple of weeks ago on the last night of Sodom. And I really thank the Lord for the opportunity for bringing us this far as we have come in this series. Now, before we go into the session of prayers, I want us to quickly go through the scriptures, because every prayer we pray has to be based on the scriptures and has to be based on the understanding that we have about God and what God can do. If you recall, in the Bible reading we just completed, the angels, or perhaps the Lord himself, mentioned that, is there anything to add for the Lord? And it is on this basis we come, because we know that there is nothing too hard for God. And as we're going to be praying this evening, God will do something great, something beyond what we can even ever think of in our lives and the lives of all our people, in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you would turn with me quickly and open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 18, we just read, and we look quickly at verse 22 and verse 23. Now, we are not going to look at all the prayers of Abraham, because we are not here to study Abraham, okay? We're just going to look at a few verses and point our attention to a couple of passages that God will be using to encourage us to draw near unto God. So we are looking at the topic, drawing near, Abraham's intercession for Sodom. So this is a practical session. So Genesis chapter 18, and I read from verse 22 and verse 23. Here the Bible says, and the men, referring to the angels and the Lord, turned their faces from thence, right? And went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So if you recall in that passage we read, that three men stood, right? Now, two of them were the ones that appeared in Sodom in Genesis chapter 19. And one of them is the Lord. So that is the pre-incarnate Christ. And the Bible says that, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord, right? And we have come today to stand before the Lord. But we're not just going to stand, we're going to draw near. And if you look at verse 23, the Bible says, and Abraham drew near. Did you see that? Abraham drew near. It is one thing to stand before the Lord. It's another thing to draw near in communion, in conversation, in one-on-one conversation with the Lord. And said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? If you quickly we go to that Genesis chapter 18 again, and I'll be reading, just pointing our attention to a few verses there on what exactly was happening there. Now, if you look at that verse 18, verse 22 we just read, the Bible says, he stood before the Lord. Verse 23 says, he drew near, Abraham drew near. Now, if you look at verse 33, the Bible says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing. Did you see communing there? He was communing with Abraham. He was having a conversation with Abraham. And so as we come today, it's not until we shout. Do you understand what I mean now? It's not until we shake our bodies, okay? It is a communion with God. It is a conversation with God. And what is important is that God is here, okay? And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in his name. Now, here, we lift the name of the Lord up. And that's one of the first things we're going to do as we begin our prayers this evening. But quickly, I want you to follow me to the book of Genesis chapter 19. Remember, in chapter 18, Abraham prayed. Now, if you would follow me to Genesis chapter 19 quickly, and I'll just read from verse 27 to 29. Now, the same Abraham that prayed, right? In verse 27 of chapter 19, the Bible says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he did what? He stood before the Lord. Remember, yesterday, he stood before the Lord, right? And he got up early in the morning to go back to that same place. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Wow. But I thought Abraham prayed. Unless verse 29 was written, Abraham would have thought that his prayer was not answered. Bible then says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God did what? Remembered Abraham. Did you see? God remembered Abraham. And what did he do? And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. So when we combine chapter 18, what we read there, and chapter 19, so Abraham tarried before the Lord, as we're going to tarry this evening. The Bible says Abraham stood yet. The Bible could have said Abraham stood before the Lord, but the Bible says it stood yet. That means he tarried there. He stood there before the Lord when he heard of the judgment of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, brethren, it is not sufficient for us to go through this series of studies, because you may be asking, why are we praying? Haven't we been praying in each of the sessions? See, it is not sufficient to hear or to read or to learn or to know about the judgment upon the land, upon the world, and just stop there. Abraham, when he got to know that God had to go and look at what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, even though God never mentioned that he was going to destroy them, he knew that judgment was coming. And because of that, he stood before the Lord in prayer to seek the deliverance of men. Brethren, we know. We know, as the Bible has told us, even in many, many passages, that this world that we are in has been reserved unto fire. Are you following me now? We know from the scriptures that this dispensation shall pass away. And, you know, the firmaments shall be torn. And that's why we had this series, right? So that we can call our attention and prepare believers' hearts for the coming of the Lord. You see, we can come here and come and pray for bread and butter. We can come here and come and pray for things that perish. But there is nothing that is greater than seeking the salvation of the souls of men. Praise the Lord. So we must draw near unto God. We must come to the place of communion, knowing the wrath of God. You see, Apostle Paul, he says, knowing the wrath of God, we persuade men. But one thing is the persuasion of men. But one thing is the pleading with God. Okay? Pleading with God. And see, while Paul the Apostle was persuading men, he was also pleading with God. And times without number, he mentioned about his prayer for the churches that he had ministered unto. So we must pray. And this other thing we can learn from this is that if you look at that passage, that verse 29, the Bible says, and God remembered in chapter 19, verse 29, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. What can we see there? God remembers the saints that pray. God remembers their requests. And that is why we must pray. See, and this prayer must not end even this evening. It must be a life of prayer. It must be a day, and you know, we may have family members who are not born again, or who have once known the Lord, but are beginning to turn to beggarly elements, to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eyes, to the pride of life. And the things of this world are already becoming very, very important to them. And they're already pursuing, you know, they are chasing the clouds. The clouds in the sky is turning to gold for them. And, you know, they are now chasing the things of the world. And see, while we may need to help them physically, like, when there is any trouble, if you could recall in Genesis chapter 14, when Sodom went into trouble and a man ran to Abraham and said, oh, they've taken Lot and they've taken everything. What did Abraham do? He stood up, he rallied around all his men, his trained men, and they went to fight for him. That was a physical battle. You see? So while we help people physically, while we help our relatives who may not have known the Lord, who may not have come to seek the Lord and follow the Lord physically and take care of their physical needs when they go into trouble or when they are in one situation or the other, like Lot was, okay? It is also important that we pray, we seek God for them. Now, you see, so in the other case, a man told Abraham of the physical trouble that Lot was in. In this case, God, the Lord himself, Jesus himself, was revealing the state of the land. What did Abraham do? He drew near. So once again, he was drawing near. Now, I'm saying this because the prayer we are praying this evening is not the end of it. As a matter of fact, if there is any other thing we can do physically to extend, to speak, to, you know, send somebody, to whatsoever we can do. So our prayer works and our action also works. And they could work at the same time or at different times. Now, let me continue because we must pray. So if you read that chapter 18, you will notice that the intercession of Abraham was very, very crucial. And when you come to chapter 19, the deliverance that Lot had was because God remembered who? Abraham. I pray that our prayer this evening, and the prayer will continue to pray, God will remember us, and God will remember our prayers in Jesus' name. Brethren, as we come today, I want you to pray, knowing that God answers prayer. The Bible says God remembered Abraham's prayer. God will remember your prayer. God remembered Abraham. God will remember you. And there we see that God had mercy in the midst of judgment. Now, I must also mention lastly that it was not necessarily the way Abraham thought his prayer was going to be answered, that it was answered. So in the heart of Abraham, it was the city that Abraham was actually praying because of Lot. But when God visited the city, as there's going to be a visitation even on the land, in the world, and men will be awoken to righteousness. But some would not. Some would not yield, right, on the day just preceding the visitation of God. And so, and that's why we must pray. Our people must yield to God. Even from today, our people, whether they are our people in the flesh, or we have come to know people by association, whether by congregation or by, you know, any form of association, those who named the Lord for one purpose or the other, but today are now beginning to give themselves, and they have taken the way of Lot, and they have taken the path of Lot, we need to pray. So the righteous are saved by the much prevailing prayer of an intercessor. Many people have perished in sin because there were no prayers offered for them. And that's why we must pray. Many lost and prodigal children have left for a far country and never came back because there was no intercessor, because there was no one praying to God for their sake. And God remembered Abraham, that he sent Lot out of the overthrow. See, many people have been overthrown and they've died in their sin because there was no intercessor. And that's why we must pray. So we see how one righteous man's prayer may be the deliverance of another. You can see, and that's why the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you see that now? It did not even say righteous men. And by the grace of God, we are more than one here. So it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has much impact. It does wondrous work. And you can pray men to eternal blessedness. You can pray men to the mountain. You can pray men to safety. You can pray men to seek God. So the righteous can be saved. We ourselves will be saved, and we're going to pray for ourselves. So, well, as we start this evening, the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. But we do not know what we should pray for, or as we ask. But the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be offered. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us in our prayers this evening in Jesus' name. So let's just, start praying this evening, whether you are seated or you're standing or you're kneeling, whatever you do, your posture does not matter. All you need to do is to commune with God, have a conversation with God. Like Abraham said, take it upon yourself to speak unto the Lord. Note that you are speaking. He repeated, he said, I will speak. I will speak yet. I have taken it upon myself to speak unto the Lord. So this evening, take it upon yourself to speak unto the Lord. And just start by thanking God for the grace that he has given us to go through even this series over the last couple of weeks. Just glorify his name. Thank him for the revelation of the word that he has given unto us. Glorify his name for his continuous revelation. And not all that has been said, even much more the Holy Spirit has revealed, and he will continue to reveal in our hearts. So thank God for the opportunity that he has given unto us to even have this series, to go through these sessions and to be blessed. Glorify his name. That even beyond all those things we have heard, God is still revealing things unto us, things that would reshape our lives, that would turn our lives, and that would bring about the salvation of many. Open your mouth and just glorify the name of the Lord. Bless him. Let's thank him because he is God that answers prayer. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 65, verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We have come unto the Lord. We have not come unto ourselves. We have not come to seek ourselves. We have come to seek the Lord. Just say, Father, we have come unto you. Glorify him because he is God that answers prayer. He is the only one. He is the one, and there is none like unto him. Who is like unto thee, O God? Who is like unto thee? Among the gods, among in all the world, who is like thee? For you are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praises. Glorify the name of the Lord. Exalt him. Magnify him. Magnify him for who he is. He is. He said, I am. He is. He is God. He is the judge of all the earth. You see, Abraham in his prayer said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He is the judge of all the earth. Can you just glorify him as the judge of all the earth? As the maker of all universe, as the one. He's not just the judge. He, we need to recognize him as the judge, as the creator, as the one that makes and as the one that destroys. Let's glorify him because he is our rock. He is, his work is perfect. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says, he is the rock. He is the rock. He is the rock of ages. His work is perfect. See, when he judges, his perfect. His judgment is perfect. When he has mercy, his mercy is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Let's glorify his name because he is God and he is God. He is creator and he is judge. He is the man. There is none unto our God. Let's ascribe this greatness unto our God. Let's ascribe the greatness unto him that made the whole universe. The one that is, was, and is to come. Let's magnify him because he is the one that has power in his hand. He is the first and the last. He is the great one. There is none like our God. As some writer says, there is none only as our God. There is none beside him. Neither is there any other rock as on our God. Let's glorify him because there is none like unto our God. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the great I am. He is I am. You can put anything after the I am. He is God. He is creator. He is the savior. He is the redeemer. He is the judge. He is the one that will judge the quick and the dead. Oh, he's the one that will deliver. He is merciful. He is. He's merciful. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. Oh, and that is the basis for which we are coming this evening. Can we just come unto the Lord on the basis of his mercy and say and pray unto the Lord and say, God, oh Lord, as we have come unto you this day, have mercy upon us. See, we need God's mercy. Even more so, as we live in this dispensation, we need the mercy of the Lord. As we live in the last days, we need the mercy of the Lord. It takes mercy to stay victorious in times like this. You see, all the things that we are talking about, while we have spoken about all what have during this series, we must say that who is sufficient unto these things? We must say that who can do these things of himself? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. Can you just say, Father God, oh Lord, we depend on you. See, to be able to do and to live righteously, we depend on you. To be able to live only in this dispensation, we cannot do it ourselves. Oh God, our eyes will fail us. Oh, the eyes of Lord failed him. Our eyes will fail us. Oh God, we are depending upon you. Oh God, in the choice of our life, in the choice of our career, in the choice of where to live, in the choice of, you know, in the raising of our children, in the leading of our family. You see, our eyes are upon you. No man is sufficient unto these things. You see, we will make decisions like the people of the world without your help. Oh God, have mercy. Open your mouth and pray. Have mercy. There is nothing we can do ourselves. The Bible says it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that worketh in us. No man can just arise on his own. You see, it is grace that we have. If we must stay alert and stay awake in this so sinful world, in these last days, and not sleep off, it is the grace of God that will give all diligence. It is the grace of God. See, many people, if they have to struggle to get their daily bread and spend all the time, all the moments, they will not be able to even take time to be holy. They will not even take time to seek the Lord. But if God gives grace, that grace, part of that grace is the ability for men to have some time to consecrate themselves unto God, to give themselves to the study of the word of God, to give themselves unto holiness, because it takes time to be holy. Open your mouth and pray for grace. God will give grace. God will give grace. Ask the Lord sincerely and say, God, I want to follow you. God, I want to seek you. Oh God, I want to be able to commune and live with you and walk on this path of holiness. I want this walk, this journey to be easy for me. You know, to be easy for me. Not, you can only ask for grace. You can only ask for grace. Open your mouth and pray that God Almighty will release grace upon you. We release mercy upon you. We help you in your choices in life. We help you. We give grace. He said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy upon. The Lord will have mercy upon you if you call upon his name. The Lord will have mercy upon you. All you need is a desire. The desire to say, God, oh Lord, I don't want to be lost with this word. I don't want my children to be lost with this word. I don't want my family to be lost with this word. Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, make it possible. Oh God, help us. Give us the grace. Give us room, that we may be able to serve you acceptably in our time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and pray that God Almighty will make life, living and serving him to be the priority of our life, to take the center place in our lives. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord will do it. King of kings will do it. The Lord of lords will do it. If you ask, he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and ye shall find. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, shall find. And to whom? He that knocketh, the door shall be opened. The Lord is desiring and he's going to do it for us. We only need to ask. Ask, it shall be given unto us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In the first session, if you could recall, we talked about the suddenness of the final visitation that preceded the destruction of Sodom. And very importantly, we made clear that the coming of destruction could happen at any time. It could happen at any moment. And this evening, we want to ask the Lord that God would make us ready. Now, if you are not ready today, we want to say, Father, make me ready today. And please make me ready. Like the wise virgin, let our lamp be lit. Open your mouth and pray. Now our lamp will be lit and we would have extra oil. Can we pray to the Lord that the coming of the Lord will not be left behind when Jesus shall appear in the air, when Christ shall appear in the air and the trumpet shall sound. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that we will not be left behind. Nothing will hold us back. In the name of Jesus, you are starting by praying for yourself. Nothing will hold us back. And then you pray for your family members. Nothing will hold your family members back, whether your husband or your wife. God, none of us, oh God, will be left behind. Maybe you are not married and you are going to get married at some point. If the Lord tarries, you are praying to the Lord that none of your family members will be lost. Your children will not be lost. Your relatives will not be lost. It was the same prayer that Abraham prayed, that prayed for Sodom because of loss. Because of his ability, open your mouth and pray that we will not be lost. That God will keep our light shining. That we will give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. That nothing will keep us outside the gates. You know, some men will be outside the gates. The Bible called them, they have different names, fornicators, adulterers, and those that make it a lie or love it, those that do unrighteous things. Open your mouth that we will not be found outside the gates. Pray for yourself that and pray for your family. That God will give every one of us grace to follow in righteousness and to constantly wait and to constantly watch for the coming of the Lord, to constantly look for and walk towards the coming of the Lord. Open your mouth and pray that we will be alert. We will not be lost in this world. The things of the world will not occupy us to the point that we are left behind. Open your mouth and pray. Many of us, we have come to know this way of truth. We have come to know God. We have come to learn about God in one way or the other. All those things must not be a waste. Open your mouth and ask the Lord that God will have mercy upon us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And you recall also in the second session, we talked about living on the edge of a precipice. And we talked about end time gods. We said many, many believers, many, many people who had exposure to righteous upbringing, which is grace in itself, and already on the path of living at the edge of a precipice, or even already living at the edge of a precipice. And what that means is that they are living in a dangerous situation that if the Lord comes today, it will be hard for them to be taken along. See, if Abraham had not prayed, it was possible for Lot and his family to be lost. But for the intercession of Abraham, there are many people that they are living in a very, very, very dangerous situation. Because they're already cutting the world. And perhaps, maybe some of us, maybe some of our family members, maybe our children, maybe our parents, whoever they are, you want to ask the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 19, verse 28. So we look at this and we pray. Because we have to pray the scriptures. Genesis chapter 19, verse 28, the Bible says, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. That was Abraham looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the first person that looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah? It was Lot. And the Bible says, and towards all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Lot lifted up his eyes to the same place, to see the same place. And it was a well-watered garden. And he chose that part. And so you see that men greedily grasping earthly things will soon embrace nothing but smoke. Will soon embrace nothing but clouds. Who can hold clouds? I want to tell the Lord that in our choices in life, that God will guide us. That the voice of God will be clear unto us. about what we need to do in every situation, that God is going to lead us. We're not going to make any choice by sight. You see, Lot lifted up his eyes then. He saw a well-watered garden. The well-watered garden, yes, after was just clouds. You see, many people are already seeing some things today. They are pursuing after it. But those things are clouds. They are mere vanities. And they do not know because they are short-sighted. Then you open your mouth to say, oh, God, help me to see. To see from the view of God. To see with the eyes of God. To see with the mind of God. To see with the thoughts of God. Open your mouth and pray that the Lord will open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts. Some people are already choosing careers for themselves, for their children. Some people are already choosing paths that they want to take. They are choosing where to go. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that God, oh Lord, help us. Help us that we will not choose wrongly. We will not go and pursue the clouds. We will not go and pursue smoke. Things that will be burnt. Ah, Father, have mercy upon us. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray that we will not be foolish. We will not be foolish in our journey in this world, in our choice in this world, whether in the choice of whom to marry, whether in the choice of where to live, whether in the choice of the career to take or the step to take in our life, and even the small thing that God Almighty will help us. Open your mouth and pray. Make sure you are praying. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you pray, the Lord will answer. The Lord answers, and the Lord hears. Open your mouth and pray. God will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. See, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And there are some of these things that we taught, and by the revelation of God, we describe during this series. And I must say that it is not the capability of a man to get them done. It takes the help of God for us to be able to prioritize the things of God. Because sometimes these things look like folly. Even to ourselves, it seems, are you foolish? You have an opportunity, and even somebody will make a good case. And Lot could have made a good case for the choice he made. But only for God to have opened his eyes to see that the choice he was making was the choice of smoke. That all these things will turn to vanity. You want to ask for help. Help to be able to prioritize God in your pursuit, to prioritize the things of God in your pursuit. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that you would not labor for the winds. You would not labor for smoke. You see, when Lot was coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he took nothing out. He took nothing out, nothing. Not even all his children. Open your mouth and pray that God will have mercy upon you. That when you are going to be, you're going to be making your choice, or maybe you're already making them, or maybe you've made them already, that God will reposition you. If you're there, you have made the choice, and God is already telling you that this choice you have made, that you need to reverse it. Open your mouth and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for mercy. Ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord for help. Because no man, again, is sufficient unto these things. No man can do these things. Ask for grace to follow. Grace to follow the Lord. Grace to seek the Lord. Grace to seek the heart of God. Grace to seek the mind of God. Grace to follow, that you will not labor for the Antichrist. You will not labor for destruction. Oh, your life labor will not end in zero. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. In our choices in life, God, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I will choose wisely in the journey of my life, that I may follow your banner. You know that songwriter says, Lord, help me to follow his banner and serve him wherever I go. And when we are tempted, my brother, he said, God, give me the grace to say no. He said, take grace to say no to something that seems juicy at first sight. And that was what this man, Lot, found. This situation he found himself. He couldn't say no to that which seems juicy. But the whole of his life, look at how everything ended. Open your mouth and pray. My life will not end in nothing. My life will not end in nothing. Oh God, help me that in this life that I live, I will labor for eternity. I will labor for that which matters. I will labor for heaven. Oh, when I get before the Lord, I will get the sound. I will hear the sound of my Savior saying, well done, my faithful servant. Oh God, help me to live by faith. In Jesus' name, we are praying. You know, as we are praying that prayer, a prayer dropped in. And it is the matter of how Abraham took his own decision. The Bible says, he that believeth will not make haste. You know, men in this world are making haste. They're making haste to choose, making haste to run, making haste to do one thing or the other. But Abraham told Lot, he said, see, look at right, left, everywhere. Choose the person that will make haste. Quickly want to choose the one that looks juicy, and forgetting that the future does not belong to just sights. And see, a man that walks by faith, even though the Bible said he took a step not knowing where he was going, but he knew that he was not going back into sin. He just knew that I want to follow the Lord, and he will not make haste that I want to get to that point quickly. I want to do that which that person is doing quickly. You want to ask the Lord. God, oh Lord, give me patience. See, patience is a virtue in the kingdom. Patience is a virtue in the kingdom of God. And so, and faith, patience work with faith. See, when we go to the book of 1 Peter, when the scripture was saying, add to your faith. And all those things that the scripture was saying, add to your faith, virtue, add to your faith, and mention patience. All these things are faith additions. And when you see a man that has grown in faith, you see patience, you see virtue. That's not the man that fights. That's a man that seeks peace. And we're going to ask the Lord, oh God, build in me your faith. Maybe you have it already, and you need to grow in faith. You want to ask the Lord, oh God, help me to build my faith life. To build my faith life, open your mouth and pray to the Lord that I will live in faith. I will walk by faith. I will see with the eyes of faith. Open your mouth and pray. I will not live in haste. Oh, I will live in the patience of faith. The Bible says, he that believeth will not make haste. I will not run and rush to catch up with men. To catch up with men who are running their own race. I will not run and haste just to be able to get myself to the point in which I have self-aggrandizement and then lose everything at the end of the day. Open your mouth and pray that God, oh Lord, give me grace and faith to follow. Grace and grow in grace and grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will grow in faith, will grow in grace, will grow in patience. Oh, the Lord God Almighty will help us in the name of Jesus. Are you praying to the Lord that God will help us? In Jesus' name we have prayed. I think we should read that passage. And I know our time is fast spent. And there are many more things that we still need to pray about. And we must bring this session to a close. Now you see, in that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I mentioned. And you look at it, I will read from 2 Peter chapter 1, if I back up to verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, what Lot had that day, that he made the choice, was lust. And some people think that when you talk about Lot, it's about lust against women. No. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, in which the people make their choice. And then the Bible says, in verse 6, verse 5 now, it says, and beside this, giving all the diligence that is required, he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge of God, and to knowledge temperance, that's self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now look at what it says in verse 8. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, meaning they continue to increase, he said, they make you that you shall neither be barren or nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went forward to say, but he that lacketh this thing is blind. Brethren, Lot was blind. He might have chosen, but he was blind and cannot see afar off. And had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence. Again, it takes time. It takes diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. The assurance of life on earth and in eternity for us is in this, that we grow. We grow our faith and we are bound in it. That was Abraham, but that was not Lot. We are going to pray to the Lord once again. And I'll move from this point. God, I must not be blind. In my choice, oh God, I will not choose as a blind man. I will not choose as a blind man and bring my family to a shipwreck. I will not choose as a blind man and bring my progeny, my posterity to a shipwreck. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that God will have mercy upon you. That God will have mercy upon me in our journey in life, in our journey through life. We will not be blind. We will not walk as a blind man. We will not walk in darkness. Open your mouth and pray that, he said, it is the word of the Lord that shines the light. He says, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Open your mouth and pray that God will give us the grace to give all the diligence that it requires, all the patience that it requires, all the virtues that it requires to do all that we need to do. And having done all, If we must enter into the God's eternal kingdom, oh, we can tell for sure that Abraham is in God's eternal kingdom. We know in the book of Luke, you see, that rich man went and went, died, and Lazarus died. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom because a man walked in faith. Brethren, you cannot lose when you walk in faith. You cannot lose when you walk in faith. You see, if you are trying to meet up with the world, you will lose many. You will lose a lot. You may even lose all. Oh, men may call you great, but if you are not great in the sight of God, what a pity. Can you ask the Lord that God will have mercy upon you, that the faith that is needed, the grace that is needed to walk righteously, to walk holily, to walk graciously, walking with the Lord day after day, that the Lord will give every one of us and the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and pray. And while we are in this world, like, just go on. You see, the world we are in is a world of sin. It's a world of iniquity. And there are many believers who are already tiptoeing, who are already cutting with the world. You want to make a quick intercession for men and say, oh God, as many that are in my family, whether in my family physically or in the body of Christ, because there are some in the body of Christ, maybe they're in the church, you know, in the congregation, and they are knowingly or unknowingly already having intercourse with the world, with the things that perishes, like Lord, and they're already situating their lives and their almost their eternity with the world. Can you pray to the Lord that God Almighty, we have mercy? There are some people in the church, in the congregations, and they have some form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof, you know, and they are there, and some of them are deceived. Open your mouth and pray that God is going to open the eyes of men. God is going to open the eyes of men and have mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. God will raise angels. Angels that will go and pick them, that will go and speak unto them so that they will not drive their whole family to a shipwreck. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that God Almighty will help. We help our people. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy upon the land. Have mercy upon the church in the name of Jesus Christ. Abraham's prayer, his prayer was for the righteous. His prayer was for the church. Let's pray for an awakening by the angel, by the Spirit of God, by the ministers of God. They will go into the churches, into the nooks and crannies, and they will convince men that are ready for repentance, men that are ready for awakening. There will be an awakening. Open your mouth and pray that God will have mercy, that God will have mercy upon our people in the flesh. Some of us, we stem from godly families, but we cannot say of a truth that of all our people, all our relatives, they are following the Lord. That they are seeking the Lord. Open your mouth and pray that men will seek the Lord. We'll begin to see that, you know, you begin to see changes. You know, when we started this prayer, we said, pray as someone that knows that God will answer. So I want you to pray this evening that God will save. If you need to mention their names, mention their name and say, God save. Oh, God save. Oh, God bring out of sin. Oh, God bring out of vanity. Oh, God bring out of iniquity. And if they are your children, or maybe your parents, or maybe your brothers or sisters, ask the Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, oh God, have mercy. The Lord God Almighty, we have mercy in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You see, we have the wife of Lot. Today, we call her Lot's wife. Lot's wife. But she was there to be an example unto many of the dangers of backsliding, of the dangers of not obeying the commandment of the Lord, of the dangers of not following the instruction of the angels. Though men can be part of some form of revival and are brought out of Sodom, of sin, but they could not get to the promised land, or they got lost by the way. We will not get lost on the way. You see, Lot's wife tells us of the need for every believer to set our affection, to seek God, to seek those things that are above, and to set our eyes, our affection on things, and to press on towards the celestial city. Brethren, as we learnt about Lot's wife, what does this tell us? And what does it lead us to pray about? To pray about the dangers of backsliding. Anybody can backslide. We have seen ministers of the gospel who fell down. See, Satan was in heaven. He fell. Could you imagine him, someone who was having fellowship with God? He fell down. He lost communion. And do you know what the devil is looking today? He's looking for men to also lose communion. That is his race. I pray we will not lose communion with the Lord. You're going to ask the Lord this evening, that first of all, for yourself, that God will give us a resolute heart. That God will give us a pure eyes. Our eyes must be set as a flint, and looking straight and have a focus And that will be our focus. Heaven will be our focus. We need to seek those things that are above. We want to pray to the Lord God, help my heart to be resolute. Help my eyes to be fixed upon you. Help my heart to be that nothing will move me. Oh God, help me to be consecrated unto you that I will not fall. You know, like what we read in the book of 2 Peter, he said, if these things are in you, they abound. See, you shall not fall. You shall not never fail. You will not fail in the knowledge of the Lord. You will not fail. You know, in that 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, for so the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into his everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the blessedness of our eyes being single, of our face being set unto God. Can you pray to the Lord that, oh God, help my eyes to be single. Oh God, help my heart to be, you know, the psalmist says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. That our heart to be fixed upon God. That our eyes will be single. Oh, that our affection will be set upon things above. The Bible says, let your set your affection on things above and not things beneath. That our affection, our love, God will set our affection. Can you pray to the Lord that God will set our affection? God will set us, and help us to press on towards the celestial city. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That God will help us, that will seek the things that are above. Bible says, where Christ seated on the right hand of God, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Can you ask the Lord this evening that God will set our affection? And as you pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your family, even pray for your children. That our children that are growing up, God Almighty would help them to stay, that their affections will be set on God. Their affections will be set on God. That God will help us to raise them up to serve their affection. Their love will be upon the Lord. They will not be children of Belial. Our children will not be children of Belial. Those ones that know not God. You know, if you don't know God, you cannot love God. The first step is to know God and then to love God. Open your mouth and pray, and then you know him more. Ask the Lord that God Almighty will set our hearts. God will set our affection. God will set our eyes upon him. That we will not look back. We will not turn back into damnation. That we will follow the word of the Lord. We will walk the works of righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, oh God, we ask that you come and help us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You know, I'll quickly go because of my time. We talked about two other things, a call to spiritual mountaineering and the perils of an unsurrendered life. See, one of the key things that underpin a set heart on God, a set mind on God, a focused eyes on God is a surrendered life. That which helps us to go and press on the way to eternal life is full surrender, complete consecration, that none of these things will move us. And I want to say that many of us are not there. Many preachers are not there. Many pastors are not there. They have not come to the point of surrenderedness. And that's the point that God wants us to get to. That point in which our heart is fixed. That we say that we are crucified with Christ and nevertheless we live. But the life that we now live, we live for the glory of the Son of God. I seek no glory. The man seek his own glory is no glory. I seek no glory. I seek the glory of God, that will be our pursuit. You see, the temptation is here in the world of social media. That we also want to get here. We want to put ourselves on the media. We want to get invitations. We want to get popularity. You want to also come out and say that you are somebody, or you have attained somebody, something, a position in life. And because of that, you seek your own glory. You seek your own self. And many do that to their own damnation. No surrenderedness. And so people want to deceive themselves. They get to the point, they say they are doing it for Christ. They are doing it for Christ. What a deceit. We want to pray to the Lord this evening. Oh God, help me to be truly surrendered. Help me to be truly consecrated. And this is not the kind of prayer that you pray just for the 1 minute we're going to pray it here. You're going to pray it even after this time. Go and seek the face of God, because this matter underpins whether you get to heaven or not. You see, when Jesus Christ said, you are still praying. When Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh unto me and found nothing in me, it is primarily because there was nothing. He was fully surrendered. He was fully surrendered. He was not seeking glory. When the devil came with the temptation to do this, temptation to do that, to seek personal glory, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, he could not fall because there was nothing like that in him. They gave him the opportunity to become a king. He rejected it because he knew his purpose. He said, I have come to do thy will, O God. That's the point we want to attain unto. That's why we say spiritual mountaineering. The Bible says we want to attain unto Christ. That is where we want to get to. Can you pray to the Lord? Oh God, I'm not yet there. Oh God, I'm not yet there. God, have mercy upon me. Help me, oh God, that I will climb on this ladder, on this way to the promised land, on this way to higher ground, on this walk of faith. Oh God, help me, oh God, that I will grow, I will grow, I will grow, and my life will be fully surrendered. You know that songwriter, you are still praying to the Lord? That songwriter says, he says initially, it is all of me and none of him. Then he grew to most of me and probably, you know, few of him. And then he says, some of me and some of him, until it is less of me and more of him. And then it is none of me and all of God. We need to get to that point that the devil will find no basis in our life. That the devil will find no basis in our life. And we attain unto Christ. Can you pray to the Lord, oh God, in this journey, help me. Maybe you have not started the journey. Maybe your life today is just, you know, religion. Just doing religion, going back and forth. Just checking the box. You want to be fully consecrated unto God, fully surrendered unto God, fully sold to Christ, fully crucified unto Jesus. And you pray to God, that is where we need to be. That is what spiritual mountaineering is. That is what to get there, to move there, to get to the, to attain unto Christ, to become like Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that God will plant our feet on higher ground. God will plant our feet on higher ground. You see, when the angel said, escape to the mountain, that is where he's saying you should escape to. Oh, where the things of this world will be small to you. Where the things that you have left in Sodom. He said, I am bound for Canaan, where milk and honey flowing, and every need supply. All the battles fought and the victory won. He said, peace and joy, my portion. My soul shall rest on his shore by and by. That is what I am seeking for. And you pray to the Lord that God, you know, you want to seek the Lord. You want to pray to the Lord that this will be the pursuit of your heart. This will be the pursuit of your life. That you attain unto the knowledge of Christ. You attain unto the fullness. Oh, Paul the apostle was praying for the church in Ephesus. He was praying, said that they will come, they will get the breadth, the depth, the height of the fullness of God. That is what we want to get to. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord will do it. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and you shall find. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you ask the Lord will do it. Oh, that the Lord will do it. The Lord will settle it for you. God did it for Abraham. He got to a point. Abraham did not get to the point he got to in just one day. And God, he was walking with God. We must walk with God. Oh, if we do not want to end our journey halfway, we must walk with God. The Lord will give us the grace to walk with him. The Lord will give us the grace day after day and time after time to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Amen. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. The Lord will do it for us. Heavenly Father will do it for us. Our Lord God will do it for us. The King of glory will do it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, I know my time is gone, but we are still going to pray. In that Ephesians, I quoted, it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You will know your purpose. When people are talking about purpose, you will know God's purpose for you, not your own purpose. You see, that he may know what is the hope of his calling. Why did he bring you into the light? Everything is God-centered. Bible says, for thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou art created all things for thy pleasure. You were created for his pleasure. If you go about your own pleasure, it is your pleasure. Your purpose, not his purpose. Bible here says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may be able to know what is the hope of your of his calling. Why did he call you? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us all who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up. And he continued on and on. Brethren, I want to tell you that God is desiring that men will walk with him. God is desiring that you will walk with him in holiness, walk with him in righteousness, and take your journey and climb mountain. And you don't stay in the plain. You don't stay in the plain of religion. You don't stay in the plain of legalism. You don't stay in the plane of all the easings, whatever it is. You don't stay in the plane of self-righteousness. There are many in planes. You want to pray now, not only for yourself, but for as many that are in the planes. You know, we talked about the planes of legalism, planes of religion, planes of self-righteousness, and many, many, many more that God Almighty will deliver. As many that are ready, they're going about claiming their own form of righteousness, and they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They cannot land anywhere. They cannot continue with God that way. Oh, it will take grace if they will ever be. It will take prayer. It will take mercy. It will take grace for them to be delivered Can you pray to the Lord? That is why we are praying today. As many that are in place, as many that have found a near city that is close to Sodom, where they can still be beholding Sodom, where they will not be too far from Sodom, and they are standing there, and they are not walking up the mountain. Put your mouth and pray and say to the Lord that God Almighty will deliver. If the Lord needs to disrupt, the Lord will disrupt them. They will not find peace in sin. They will not find peace near Sodom. The Lord God Almighty will give. They will energize them. They will stand. They will stand. And if we are there, the Lord will make us stand and walk right to the mountain, right to the promised land. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. God is going to help us that we walk right to the promised land. We will not find rest, just like Lot. Lot did not find rest. He found fear in Zoar. He found fear in Zoar. Open your mouth and pray that as many of our relatives, as many of our church brethren, as many of our brethren, you know, in the flesh, or our Christian brothers or sisters who are living in Zoar, who are close to Sodom, who are already caught in the world, who are close to destruction, the Lord God Almighty is going to have mercy upon them. The Lord God Almighty is going to save them. The Lord God Almighty is going to draw them out of sin, out of Zoar, out of near sin, and take them straight to the promised land. Take them straight to God. Help them to walk the walk of righteousness to the mountain, to attain unto Christ, and to be fully settled and fully surrendered unto God. Open your mouth and pray. You are praying to the Lord. We still have some ways to go, but I will quickly go. The Lord will help us. And even beyond now, we are going to pray. And I encourage you to listen to this session and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to pour out his spirit upon you to pray, because God wants his people to pray. God wants his people to pray. We still need to pray for our family. We still need to pray for our children. So you need to pray. We need to pray. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord that God Almighty will help us. As many of our brethren in the flesh, as many of our brethren in the flesh who are living at the periphery of Sodom, who are living in, they're vacillating in religion, who are just living, you know, a so-so life, and they have not committed themselves unto the Lord, or they're like Israel, that Paul the Apostle said, my heart and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. They're not really saved, but they may have some form of godliness, but it's not according to knowledge, not the knowledge of God. They're not adding to their faith. They remain there, and then they from faith slip to religion. They slip to legalism. They slip to self-righteousness, or some kind of, you know, self-imposed righteousness, self-defined righteousness. Can you pray to the Lord that God will have mercy? Can you pray to the Lord that God will have mercy? Can you ask the Lord that God will have mercy upon our brethren? Oh, many of them are not, they don't know. Many of them think that they are doing the right thing. Many of them may even think that they are in the right. Open your mouth and pray that the light of God is going to shine. That the light of God is going to shine. Oh, the light of God shines by his word. Oh, the light of God shines by his word. The word of God is going to come. The angels will come and give instruction. Say, this place you are is not your resting place. It will surely destroy you. Escape for that. Open your mouth and pray the Lord will do it. If you pray, the Lord will do it. If you ask God, the Lord will do it. Oh, Lot's wife stayed there somewhere between Sodom and Zoar. She just got lost. Oh, none of our people will get lost. Our children will not get lost. Our family will not get lost. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord will have mercy upon us. The Lord will have mercy upon our family. The Lord will have mercy upon our home. None of our people will be lost. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, we are praying. Now, you will recall that we talked about family, and we talked about the home of Lot as a caution for end-time Christians. And we described the role of husbands and the role of wife. You know, I've not spent so much time because I trust God that God will be using, you know, this medium to also bring families together for a session in which we are not going to only learn what God's command is, but also pray about it. So I would just ask us to pray that if there be anything that is not of God in our families, if there be anything that is not advancing the purpose of God in our home, the Lord God Almighty is going to remove it. And God is going to set our eyes as a family. Oh, father, mother, and their children. And God will set our eyes as a family to advance the purpose of God, to advance the mind of God, to advance the program of God in this world. That we, you know, maybe there are divisions already in family in which, like Lot, you're already saying, I. It's all about me. And maybe there's a wife in the home who is not present, who is not spiritually present, who is not physically present. You want to open your mouth and pray that God will heal our homes. God will heal our homes. And maybe there are family members, or maybe there are brothers or sisters in which they are currently living in some strange home. You know, there are people that they cannot just say they are not doing again because they are called Christian, because of it, the only thing that is keeping them. It's the matter of the community they have found themselves. And they say, if we now say we don't want to do it again now, what will have been? What will people say? And the only thing is that they are fragmented. Remember, we talked about this, that there are some families that are together, but they are so divided. You know, go and listen to the session again. There are many families that are fragmented. They are living together, but they are not together. And there are families that are separated physically, but they are together. They are together in the spirit. And their children themselves, they are all together. They pray together. They commune together. They solve issues together. They attack the devil together. And that's what our family will be. Our family will put the devil to shame. We'll put the devil to shame. We'll put the devil to erase. We'll cause the devil to flee. Open your mouth and pray. Our family will not be fragmented. Oh, if there be any family that is fragmented, if there be any family that is broken, fragmented internally, and maybe nobody is seeing anything outside, that the healing virtue of the Lord will come upon our homes. Oh, we cause us, oh God, oh Lord, to pursue the purpose of God, to advance the purpose of God, and not to linger on the day of revival. Oh, you remember that the family of Lord lingered on the day of revival. It was the mercy of the Lord. It was the grace of the Lord that kept them. Open your mouth and pray that none of our family members will die. Would die. None of them would die physically. None of them would die spiritually. Oh, none of them. You see, the family of Lord, some of them died in the destruction of Sodom. Some of them died physically in the destruction of Sodom. And another one, the wife died on the way out of Sodom, on the way they are supposed to walk even to the promised land. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. I would not die on the road. I would not die. My family will not die. My wife will not die. My children will not die, physically or spiritually. The Lord will equip us. The Lord will empower us. Are there families, oh God, that are around us? Maybe they are for our brethren or our people in the flesh. Oh God, we are praying that God Almighty, that they have not come to see or to know the work of God or to see the power of God or to experience the power of God. God Almighty, we have mercy. The Lord, we have mercy. God will show mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. And let's quickly pray for our children. Now our children will know the Lord. We will not make mistake in raising them. We will not make mistake in bringing them to the light of God, to the knowledge of God. We will serve the Lord together. The Lord will delight in us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You know, lastly, time is so fast spent. But there is a particular group of people that I want us to pray. And it brought me to the matter of Ruth again, the Moabites. Can you remember Ruth? We talked about Ruth. See, after the generation of Lot had brought about even a curse, and they have become a gang, God raised Ruth through faith to make a choice to follow God. The same choice that our ancestor did not take. Lord chose to follow the world, but Ruth reversed that course and that curse, because it's both a curse and a cause. We're going to pray to the Lord. As many that the situation of their parents or some people in their lineage are brought to a disadvantaged position today, and it seems that they cannot even do well in this spiritual journey, we're going to ask the Lord that God Almighty would use Ruth to challenge them. That they're going to choose God, and God will reverse. You see, Ruth came back into the lineage of the Lord. Ruth became a name to reckon with, but none of the children of the Moabites or the Ammonites did we hear about, apart from just mentioning their name, Moabites, Ammonites, and you see, or their wicked people against or the children of Israel. We're going to pray to the Lord that has God helped Ruth to hold on to faith and to choose God. As many that are in such situation, they will choose God. They will choose God, and they will rewrite the course of their life. They will rewrite the course of their life, because there is no, the story is not over until it is over. A man that chooses God, no matter the lineage, can come. If that prostitute, you know, can choose God and find herself in the lineage of the Lord, open your mouth and pray. There is nothing impossible. And Ruth did, and that prostitute did, Rahab, she did, and God, she was brought into the lineage of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that there is nothing impossible. Can you pray? As many that are already in some disadvantaged position, maybe they were born in some unbelieving home, but God will help them to begin to choose God. And as God is going to be sending men unto them, God may send you, God may send us, God may send anyone to reach out to them. They will choose God. They will choose to follow God. They may read the tracts that will bring them and say, no, I will follow this God. Though I was not born in this home, though I was not born to follow this path, I will follow this path. They will follow the path of righteousness. You know, you are interceding, you are praying for men. And there are many people in this category who will come to the Lord, who will become ears of grace. The Bible says, other sheep have I that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You know, there are some people who are disadvantaged as a result of where they are born into. Can you open your mouth to pray to the Lord that God will bring them? God will bring them into the light of righteousness, into a life of holiness, and they will follow the Lord. And they will be men. They will be men and women of renown in the kingdom of God. They will be men and women of value to the kingdom of God. Though their beginning may be, their origin may be poor. Maybe their origin may be disadvantaged. God is going to reach out to them. Their sheep already in the wrong environment. The Lord is going to bring them. What you are praying for now is the evangelism. It's evangelization of men who are of God, but they are not yet in the fold. God will bring them into the fold. God will bring them into the fold. They will follow the Lord. They will know the Lord, and they will serve the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Because of our time, I have to wrap up. But let's thank God for the grace that He has given unto us. You know, we started with the fact that the Holy Spirit will help us in our intercession. And we trust that God is helping us and would help us even beyond what we have ever asked for. So just give thanks to the Lord for the opportunity. Give thanks to the Lord for the grace. Give thanks to the Lord for what we believe that He has done, and glorify His name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we magnify Your name for how far You helped us in this series. Though we're able to go through a little, but we know that little is much when You are in it. And we know that which You have in store for every one of us, whether listening live or listening later, You will bring to pass. That day we are asking that let these sessions and this series bring about the revival of souls. Let this series bring about the revival of our own souls. We pray that God Almighty, You would help us, that we would not end our journey halfway, but You will strengthen us to continue day after day, though that after we might have preached to others, we ourselves will not be a castaway. But that everyone that will hear these words would be strengthened to run the race and to escape from the life of sin, from Sodom, from Gomorrah, and from every city that is near it, and walk straight to the promised land, and climb and walk with You, and set their hearts on You, and be fully consecrated and sold unto You in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray not just for ourselves, but for the church of Christ. We pray not just for ourselves, for the family of God all around. We pray not just for ourselves, but also for our children. Unborn. That we pray that none of us will be children of Belial. None of us will go to hell. None of us will, after hearing the word, after being privileged of being born in a Christian home, of hearing the word, now become a castaway in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that as many who are outside the fold today, as a result of their birthplace, as a result of some wrongs or errors in the past, oh God, we are praying Your redemptive power will bring them even into Your light in Jesus' name. And men will be partakers of this heavenly nature. And oh God, we look forward to when we get to heaven. That song writer says, when we all get to heaven, what a day, a happy day it will be when we all see Jesus, whom we seek to model, to be after, whom we pursue. Oh, and the voice we shall hear that day. We pray that You would really help us, that we will not stop our journey halfway, but we'll press on, we'll press forward, we'll set our affection, and daily we'll add to our faith, we add to our love, and we'll crown everything, oh God, with a life of diligence and a life of abounding in the knowledge of You in Jesus' name. We pray that for the next set of series that will be coming, and even the interlude series we are going to be having, God Almighty, You would really help us, and You will bless us and revive us, so that our journey to Your kingdom will be enhanced in Jesus' name. Thank You, Heavenly Father, because we know You have answered. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.